Peter Pan turns 100 this year. J.M. Barrie's play was first performed in London in 1904. Last year's movie adaptation by P.J. Hogan is now out on DVD. Our critic-at-large John Powers takes a look at Peter Pan as an enduring cultural symbol and says that Peter is an icon that fits our times.
Every era has mythic figures who express society's idea of itself. The Greeks admired the noble Achilles and Hercules, who reflected their notions of the heroic. The post-Renaissance world had Faust, Don Juan, and Robinson Crusoe, who expressed the birth of modern individualism. And us? Our world has Peter Pan. This eternal boy turns 100 this year, looking every bit as fresh-faced as he did back in 1904, and even more culturally relevant. Like so many legends, Peter was created at a time of social uncertainty. Queen Victoria had just died after decades on the throne. The English had just fought a nasty war in South Africa, and the stable world that people knew was falling apart. J.M. Barrie's play, Peter Pan, reflected that period's anxieties, and in his hero, he invented a figure who embodied the seductive joy and brio of childhood. Peter's the symbol of freedom from worry about all those adult things like history, social change, or just making a living. But Peter Pan wasn't the only model of youth being created in that period of cultural anxiety. 4 years later, in 1908, a war hero named Sir Robert Baden-Powell wrote Scouting for Boys, the book that created the Boy Scout movement. Baden-Powell was all about turning young boys into serious mini-adults. They were taught to be sober, responsible, civic-minded. They were taught to always be prepared. You might say that the next 100 years was one long duel between these two different visions of youth, the irresponsible Peter Pan and the hyper-responsible Boy Scout. And at first, Baden-Powell's vision seemed to be the winner. The first half of the 20th century was filled with events, two world wars, a Great Depression, and the beginnings of the Cold War, that demanded maturity of everyone, old and young. The brave boys who fought in the trenches or stormed Normandy Beach were in the best sense Boy Scouts, although nobody could have been prepared for what befell them. But things began to change in the 1950s, when the West, especially America, entered the most prosperous period in human history. For the first time ever, ordinary people had the freedom, money, and leisure time to pursue their own pleasure. And increasingly, those pleasures were youthful. It's hardly an accident that it was precisely then that Americans should watch Mary Martin play Peter Pan on nationwide TV, singing the famous anthem.
Are you ready for today's lesson?
Yes, Peter!
And listen to your teacher. Repeat after me. I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
I don't want to go to school.
I don't want to go to school.
Just to learn to be a parrot.
Just to learn to be a parrot.
And recite a silly rule.
And recite a silly rule.
If growing up means it would be beneath my dignity to climb a tree,
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
Not me.
Not I.
Not me.
Not me.
I won't grow up.
I won't.
By now, of course, the obsession with youth has grown almost pathological. Physically, more and more people have become devoted to keeping their bodies young, or at least young-looking, through hours at the gym, fanny tucks, injections of Botox to fight wrinkles. They even have surgery to have their voices made more youthful sounding. This is the era of the extreme makeover, on and off TV. This same fixation has colonized our psyches. Where people were once considered adults at 18 or 21, countless Americans now hold onto their childhoods until they're at least 30. And increasingly, this is thought normal. We almost mistrust those who grow up too quickly. You can see this in our politics, where ever since boyish John Kennedy beat the never-young Richard Nixon, we've preferred our presidents to seem youthful, even when, like Ronald Reagan, they were actually quite old. Never was this clearer than in the 2000 election, where Al Gore was almost the perfect Boy Scout. One imagined him being prepared and dutiful his entire life. George W. Bush had an almost perfect Peter Pan resume. By his own admission, this longtime party boy didn't get serious about life until he was 40. But far from holding that against him, America preferred that easygoing background to Gore's wonkishness. It made Bush a regular guy, not a grind, in days when the term Boy Scout is often used as a put-down. Of course, in creating Peter Pan, Barrie wasn't just celebrating youth. he was also suggesting its limitations. After all, Wendy eventually goes home from Neverland to get on with the serious business of living. But like so many mythical figures, Peter has escaped his creator's original intention. Even after 9/11 supposedly sobered us all up and unleashed our inner boy scout, we're still living in the age of Peter Panism. These days, Barry's eternal youth isn't somebody to be outgrown. He's someone to be emulated.
John Powers is deputy editor and media columnist for LA Weekly. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.